Okay, so just open up in prayer. Thank you, Lord, that you're with us. Thank you, Lord, that you go before us. I pray, Lord, that you fill us all with your Spirit, and you help me this evening, Lord, as I try to deliver this message. I hope, Lord, that you speak through me and that everybody can take something from it and that we can be strengthened in our relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So it's called Safe, Connected and Understood. So at the beginning of the summer, I decided to, in my wisdom, sign up to a course to try and develop the building of strong, positive relationships with challenging children. The irony of my job. And during the course, I learned that there are three foundational things that all humans need in good relationships, whether they're children or adults. And those three things are to be safe, they are to be connected, and to be understood. And I quickly realised as I was listening in the course that actually, as a Christian, all of those three things are fulfilled in our relationship with Jesus and God. Mm-hmm. And he provides us with safety, connection, and understanding. And so I just wanted tonight to go through the message of how that is demonstrated in our walk and how we need to remind ourselves of that sometimes and just to understand how that remains the case. But like in any good relationship, two parties are involved and both need to be active parties and engaged in that relationship for it to be maintained. Mm-hmm. So for us to not take it for granted, but to continue working on that good relationship. I'm speaking to myself as well, not just you guys. So the first aspect of it is that we are safe. Often our starting point with a relationship with God occurs once we've actually understood the futility of our existence and the weakness of ourselves, and that we cannot solve our own problems often. We can't manage and control everything, and we realise that we do have limitations and we don't know it all, and that we often make bad choices. And there comes such a relief when you first become a Christian to be able to step back and hand over the reins and give it over to that all-powerful, all-knowing, merciful God who will work it all out for us in ways that we don't understand how or why. And as a new Christian, we're quite open and receptive to do that. Mm-hmm. But sometimes during our Christian life, we forget that need to let go. We forget that need. And God needs to remind us of the safety and security that he provides us with, and that we don't need to rely on ourselves. God doesn't provide or promise necessarily an easy life. He does promise that we don't need to fear about our lives because he will protect us. He does promise that when you lie down, you'll not be afraid, and that you can lie down and your sleep will be sweet because you are in his hands. In Job, there's many instances about how you would be secure, that you would have a hope, that you would dig around you and you can take your rest in safety. In Psalms, it tells us that he enlarges our path beneath our feet so that we do not slip. He tells us that we don't need to be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day. And whilst all those verses are really lovely and uplifting, how do we know that that security is ours to claim? But sometimes we think it's for other people, but sometimes we hear it but we don't necessarily believe it. So how do we stand on those words? So in Psalms it tells us he will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. And that's the key. We have to trust him. We have to take him at his word and believe that that is so for us. Again, in Psalms it tells us those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion that cannot be moved, but abides forever. Mm-hmm. So again, it's telling us we need to trust in God. Mm-hmm. Proverbs, but whoever listens to me will dwell in safety and will be secure without fear of evil. I think at the moment with the news and the world as it is, there's lots to fear. There's lots to make us worried. There's lots to make us lose sleep. There's lots to make us concerned for our children's safety and future and lives. But God is telling us that he will allow us to dwell in safety. Yes. As long as we trust, we will be secure with him. Amen. In Matthew, it says, therefore, whoever who hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. So therefore, if we trust and hope in the Lord, if we listen to his teachings and we do as he commands, we can boldly claim, as it says in Hebrews, that the Lord is our helper and we will not fear. What can man do to me? To make such a statement shows such a massive unwavering faith in God's security, that there is no doubt in that writer's mind. And that is something we too can accomplish and have in our lives if we do trust and act on his word. The second point is that it was a connection in a relationship. Now, obviously, there's lots of ways that we can connect to God. It can come in many forms. The main area I'm going to focus on is via the Holy Spirit. You know, as he dwells with us, it means we have a direct line to God if we choose to connect with that Holy Spirit. So it tells us in John, if you love me and keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be within you. So we know that the Holy Spirit is with us. We know that it will be forever, and we just have to tap into that connection. The role of the Holy Spirit, as you can see in the Bible, is really varied, but it always involves some form of connection to the humans and the people involved in those stories. As Jesus himself said in John 16, "But I will tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I will go away. For if I do not go away, the helper, the comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him, the Holy Spirit, to you to be in close fellowship with you." Mm-hmm. And you can see the role there and the different, aspects of that Holy Spirit, that how it can help us. He is our intercessor. So in Romans, it tells us, likewise, the Spirit, who also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So we don't always know what to pray. We don't always know what we need. We don't always know what the answer is. But the Spirit can guide us. Yes. The Spirit can intercede for us. The Spirit can give us that connection to God. Mm. And it's all in the accordance to God's will. So then we know it will happen. It will be fulfilled and we will be supported. The Spirit also convicts us. John 16:7. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin, because they do not believe in me, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment, because of the ruler of this world is judged. So it can lead to conviction, which we do also need. That can help us to get a connection that is right with God. Because if we're not right with God and the Spirit convicts us, we can repair that relationship. We can restore that relationship. So that's the point behind it. It's not to judge us. It's to bring us back to the right relationship with the Lord. He also inspires us to worship. John 4:23. True worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such worship. So God wants us to worship him. He is worthy of such worship. And so we need that inspiration sometimes when we've had a long week, when we've had a hard day. We need that inspiration. He is our helper, our teacher, and our truth. John 15:26. But when the helper comes, who I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me, and you will also bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Again, he comforts us and guides us. John 14:25. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I say to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Let your heart not be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say it to you. I'm going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. There's lists of endless varied roles that the Holy Spirit has done. We've done some studies in Truth Seekers on the Holy Spirit. We've looked at a whole host of different things. We've looked at the gifts of the Spirit. There's so much you can get into with his role and his instructions. Our main role to keep this connection is to listen to that prompting, is to take note of the Holy Spirit and try to keep in step with it. Galatians 5:16 states, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfishness, ambition, fractions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, is joy, peace, righteousness, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit.
Amen.
Now, we can all obviously say we want to embody what that verse has said. The only way we're going to be able to do that is to stay connected.
Yes.
The Spirit doesn't transform us and leave us. He's not this momentary present. He's our ever abiding, empowering presence that we should be in touch with every day.
Yes.
So what does it mean to walk with or try to keep in step with the Spirit? To walk by or with the Spirit is to do two things. It's basically to keep the flesh away and put on that new Spirit-filled way of life. Following that Spirit, living under his control and not walking by the control of the flesh. It means purely and simply rejecting sin. Rejecting sin in all of its forms. Trying our best to live in the Spirit is a way of living in obedience and holiness, where the Spirit is present and holiness abounds too. And it sounds so easy, but we all know that that is a really hard thing to do. And basically, to put on this new way of life is a choice every day. And we have to be led by that Spirit to stay under his control, to stay under his direction, to stay under his guidance. It's not just an absence of sin. Like what we've heard in recent weeks, we can have just an empty, clean house. We need to have it filled with the presence. We need to have it filled with the goodness and love and power of the Spirit, so that we are demonstrating those characteristics, enabling the full Spirit of fruit of the Spirit to take place. None of that will happen without our participation. None of that will happen if we do not try to connect. The giving of the Spirit comes at God's initiative. We pray that God's Spirit works in people's hearts. We pray that it opens that up, and we know that that can happen. That's happened with us. That's how we're here. But we also must be increasingly filled with that Spirit and looking to stay in touch with that Spirit for it to work in us in a continued way. And then the last element of a good relationship is being understood. Another way to look at that is to be known. If you are known by somebody, they understand your perspective, they understand your point of view. So in Psalms 139, it tells us that God knows everything about us. It tells us how we are formed, our ways, our words, and our heart. You've searched me, O Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my outgoing and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. In Matthew 10, it tells us even the number of hairs on our head are counted. He knows our exact thoughts and our exact intentions. And that bit can be a bit scary. And Jeremiah tells us that I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind. So amazingly, despite knowing us that well and all our intentions and all our faults and desires and faults, we were chosen.
Amen.
Despite all of those things, God wanted a relationship with us, yes. Every single one of us. He wanted to make that connection. In Ephesians 1, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory, and that you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is the deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. We are, in God's wisdom, the most faulty, broken mess, and he's seen it fit that it proves how wonderful and how amazing he is, that he can transform such as us into something amazing, as what we read earlier, this fruit of the Spirit that we can embody. How amazing is that? And that is proving God's amazing nature, and that's all to his praise, isn't it?
Yes.
And that can only be demonstrated if we keep this connection, and if we look to our Heavenly Father. So let's not take for granted that the incredible truth that in God we are safe, we can be connected to an heavenly, all-knowing, all-powerful Father. We are deeply understood, for all of our days are numbered. He knows everything about us. And so just like any other meaningful relationship we might want to strike up in life, it has to be mutual.
Mm-hmm.
We both have to take a part. God has already made the first move,
mm-hmm.
and the greatest move. That was through Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He's now also sent the Holy Spirit and through his unchanging word. So it's our choices now, and it's up to us to actually respond.
Mm-hmm.
To remain under that safety, and to remain connected through the Spirit and walk in the knowledge that we are fully known and fully loved, we have to actively choose to seek him. We have to actively walk in step with the Spirit. Timothy 2 says, puts it, the solid foundation of God stands. Having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. It's really simple. We have to reject sin. We have to choose God. We have to choose the right path. That means daily putting our hearts towards his, rejecting anything that pulls us away from that. When we do this, we not only will experience that security and connection and understanding, which is what every human is longing for, we also will then reflect his image more clearly to the world around us. Corinthians 8:3 reminds us, whoever loves God is known by God. We want to be known, we want to be loved, we want to be understood, we want to have a connection. So if these are the things that all humans are striving for, we've already been given all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So let's continue to do our part and strive to continue to be safe, connected and understood with our Heavenly Father.
Amen.
That's the end. Just closing prayer. Thank you, Lord, that you've already made those first steps. Thank you, Lord, that you want a relationship with us. Thank you, Lord, that you know everything, and we can be safe despite what's going on around the world. That, Lord, we always are loved. That, Lord God, there is always somebody who understands us. There's always somebody there who knows everything about us and why we act or think the way we do. But Lord God, most of all, thank you for the provision that we don't have to remain the same. That Lord, you can transform us if we are willing.
Mm-hmm.
So Lord God, I just pray you open all our hearts. And Lord, you help us to do our part and to be willing and striving to be more connected to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.